Good to be with you today. Happy Mother's Day to many of you. I know there's some of you here, mothers, who this isn't a happy Mother's Day. And that's where grace abounds. And I've sat with some people going through this. I know some of you, even to hear that word, just, but remember, we've got, I personally want to thank, and we want to thank God for our mothers. And we ask God to minister to you if you're struggling with that, because that's who our God is. He walks with us, and we can turn to Him and be strengthened in this. I'm Dan Moose. Many of you know me. I'm Cheryl and I have been a part of this church probably for 6-8 years. I work for the North Central District of the Free Church. I help with church planting, and so it's just another privilege to be here and share with you in the Word. As you all know, I've been working on a series called Extravagant Grace. And since Andy's going on sabbatical, we're going to get some more sermons on Extravagant Grace as we start to figure out how that works out in our life. I think if we could understand what that is, it would really minister to our hearts. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor, and that's what we always do. But we don't stop there. It's God's unmerited favor and transforming power working in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, grace is God's unmerited favor and transforming power working in and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's just what we heard the story shared. She shared her testimony. You saw how the Holy Spirit worked in her as transforming her in grace. And we realize that by grace we're saved, by grace we're justified. That means we're made put in a right relationship with God. Also, by grace we're set free from a slavery, being slaves to sin. By grace we're called to a holy lifestyle. By grace we're empowered for His ministry. And by grace we're trained to live a godly lifestyle. Since we, as followers of Jesus Christ, serve a God of grace who has lavished His mercy and grace on us, a question for you today. To what extent are you fully experiencing God's grace in your life daily? Can you look and see where God is working in your life and see His grace, His unmerited favor, and His Holy Spirit's power working in you daily? Would you say that God's grace is sufficient for you each day? Now that's a little harder, because that deals with how is God's grace being worked out and how am I responding? Am I a person that's really saying, I see God's grace working day by day? I sense God's grace being worked in my life day by day? And I can tell you points where it's at, where He's working? Or am I still caught in myself? And that's what we want to look at today, because today we want to deal with sufficient grace. Grace that is sufficient for everything. But before we do that, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, as we come together today, we just stop and we want to thank You, Lord, for the way You minister in our lives. We thank You, Father, for Your saving grace. In other words, for You taking us from wherever we were and giving us that salvation that's so full and free. We thank You, Father God, that You've not only saved us, but You continue to work in us through Your power and Your grace to make us like You, and to really transform us. And Father, today as we come to look at Your Word, we ask that Your Holy Spirit might help us grasp Your sufficient grace and live in it day by day by day, moment by moment. Lord, You've called us. You've saved us. You want to work in us. Show us whatever there may be in our lives that are keeping You from really being completely empowered by Your grace to transform us. Lord, I pray that You take the words that I'm about to share, take this passage of Scripture, and speak it to our hearts in a beautiful way, so we'll be changed, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to follow along with this in the scriptures, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. But before we look at this passage, we need to put it in context. Really, this passage starts in 2 Corinthians 10, and it goes through the end of 2 Corinthians 13. And if you read the flow, it flows the whole way through. And as you, we're going to jump in the middle. You're going to say, you're going to wonder, why is he saying what he's saying? Well, a little background. What is happening is Paul has been challenged by the quote-unquote super apostles. You say, well, what's a super apostle? Well, a super apostle is someone that's saying, we are a better apostle than Paul is. We have the call. We have this. We have that. In fact, if you look in verse chapter 11, verse 5, he brings it out. In 6, he brings it out very clearly that what was happening, these super apostles were, number one, they were deceiving the believer. They were challenging the gospel that Paul had preached. They also challenged his apostleship. Well, why are you apostle? You don't care for these people, right? And then one more, they were saying, you know, we're better preachers than he is. And Paul acknowledges always that he's not the greatest preacher. But as we look at that, we start to see in chapters 10 and 11 the personal attacks on Paul. So what is happening in this, especially now in the latter part of verse 11, chapter 11 and chapter 12, all of chapter 12, is Paul is sharing his case for being apostle. Now, I know if you and I were sharing my, if I shared my case for being a better preacher than Andy, I would say, I do this, I do this, I do this better than him, right? And I'm not even going to go there. No way. I don't feel I'm a better preacher than Andy. So just so you know that, he just has nothing to worry about. But the fact is, do you notice what Paul does? Paul goes the opposite way. If you look in chapter 11, he says, I'm going to boast about my sufferings and about my weaknesses. And we Americans go, what's wrong with that guy? In fact, instead he is boasting about his beatings, he's boasting about his stonings, about his shipwrecks, and about his struggles. In fact, in verse 30 of chapter 11, he says, boast of the things that show my weaknesses so that God's grace will shine and God will get all the glory. Wow. I don't know if we boast about stuff like that as Christians, do we? I know I don't. But as we look at Paul, I think maybe this is one of the main reasons we as Christians struggle with really seeing the sufficient grace of God, because there's still a little bit too much of who? Me. I'll let you call yourself the me. But as we stop and look at this, we see, you know, the last story there, the last thing he's boasting about in chapter 11 before we get into this passage is he's saying, I was saved in Damascus, and then as he became a follower of Christ, then they said the next thing is that he was let down in the basket because the king was out to get him. And then he goes into this. Let me read it. Chapter 12, verses starting verse 1. Paul says, I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained. I will go on to a vision and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible things, which things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surprisingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, and in difficulties, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Boy, I struggle with that last couple of verses because I have to feel I'm strong. You know what? Maybe you feel the same way. That's not what Paul's doing. Let's look at this passage. You know, he first starts to talk about his experience in heaven. And every theologian says that Paul's talking about himself. He's doing it in the third person so that he's not drawing as much attention to himself. But he's talking about that somehow, either in a vision, he doesn't know exactly how it was, but he had the experience of being in paradise, being in heaven with God, and hearing things that he wasn't allowed to say. If you remember in Revelation, John was also told the same thing. These are some things you can't write. And so here's Paul, things he couldn't say. And so then Paul, as he's not permitted to say, Paul comes into the situation where, you see there, he says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." Now, we start to see that a couple things here, because you're going to say, well, how was an apostle have a thorn in his flesh, which is the messenger of Satan? How do you do that as a Christian? And you can start to see how the super apostles are starting to say, Paul has this weakness, so he can't be an apostle, right? And Paul's just taking it the other way, and he's saying, no, they don't understand. Because what happened here is, number one, we got to look at two things. First of all, God is always sovereign. And we realize that God is the one who allowed him to have this messenger from Satan. We see this many times. All of us as believers need to realize that God will protect us, and he limits what Satan can do in our lives if we are honestly seeking him. But God said, there's a reason for this one. And we see that happening in Job 1, Job 2. We also see that when Peter, you remember? Peter, before he renounced Christ, Jesus said to him, Peter, Satan asked that you be sifted, but I've prayed for you. And so really by Jesus praying for him, he limited how much Satan could sift him. And so we need to realize that God was allowing Satan to do something in his life so to protect Paul from his pride and conceit. Now, what's the thorn in the flesh? Nobody knows. There's been a lot of ink spilled on what it could be. But we need to realize what Paul said. Paul said, it's something that tormented me. In the Greek, that means something that beat on him. So we don't know whether something beat on him day in, day out, continually, but it's something that beat on him. And as it beat on him, he was struggling with it. It also made him to look at his sin of pride, that soul killer. And pride was something that he had to deal with because he had an experience that no one else, not many other people had had. And so as we look at that, he says that God gave him that so that he wouldn't struggle with pride. Now, what is pride? Pride, all of us struggle with it in some way or another, right? We either struggle with overflow or underflow. And the overflow is, I can do it, just watch me, I'm better than you are, I'm more spiritual than you are, and it really starts to show me off. Or we can have false pride, you know, I have the true humility, I'm the best. Again, that's just drawing attention to me, right? And Paul here is dealing with pride. We don't know what his problem was, but he's dealing with pride. And what does he do? He prays three times. Who else prayed three times? Remember, in the garden? Jesus prayed, Father, not my will, but yours. And it says here, Paul pleaded. Paul pleaded with God, and God gave him an answer. And what was his answer? No. But he didn't stop there. Let's look ahead. Because his answer was no, but then he goes on and God tells Jesus, he says, my Lord told me, my grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. God's unmerited favor and transforming power working in Paul through the Holy Spirit is sufficient. Paul, I'm not going to take the thorn away, because if I do, your pride is going to, you're going to struggle more with pride. But I am going to show you my sufficient grace. Now, what is sufficient grace? When Jesus says, my grace is sufficient, he uses a present tense. My grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for now. It's sufficient in every day. Also, sufficient grace, as we look at it, is the strengthening power, because he says it makes power perfect in the weakness. And so Paul's weakness is what? The thorn in the flesh here. And God's going to use it. Also, sufficient grace is that transforming grace. It not only gives strength, but it also transforms him, and it transforms his attitude. Because if he was going to look always back on his thorn in the flesh, he's going to be beaten down, right? But when God, through the sufficient grace, gives him the ability to trust God and to move ahead, and then takes that weaknesses and changes into strength, that's God's transforming power. His sufficient grace also, as Paul talks about, will show off Christ's power as it makes perfect Paul's weakness. See, I think this is one of the reasons Paul's bragging about his weakness, is because it's always going to show off Christ. We all say we want to be glorifying God in everything, right? What is glorifying God other than showing off God? And so we see that he's showing off God. This sufficient grace makes Paul and us able to do God's calling through our weaknesses. And sufficient grace always shows off God's great power and shows off God. Look at Paul's response in verses 9 through 11. I love it. I'm not sure I could do it, but I love it. Therefore, I will do what? I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You see Paul's response? I'll boast how? What's the key word there? Help me. Gladly. Whoa. God, you said no. And I'm going to boast in that weakness gladly, so that your power can be made strong in me. How did Paul get to that decision? How do you and I get to that decision? I think there's a couple things that happened. I think the first thing that probably happened in Paul's life, there was a decision of his will. Because when he was praying and God said no, he had to make a decision at that point there. Am I going to follow God's way? Or am I going to go my own way? And Paul made the decision. Paul made the decision, Lord, I'm yours. I trust you. It's not based on me. It's based on my full dependence on God. Paul's second thing, we see a change in his attitude. Here he's praying about the thorn in the flesh. Now he's boasting. It's okay with me, is Paul's change of attitude. You see how grace has transformed him. That in fact, I will gladly accept your will. And that gladly word is a hard one. Because many times we're going to say, oh, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. No, that's not what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, okay, Lord, I'll take you at your word. I trust you. I will do it gladly. There's a whole thing of an attitude of heart of gratitude that Paul's bringing out. Paul realizes that as he reaches out, his strength is based in the weakness of what his weakness is when the Holy Spirit and the sufficient grace just transform that. Paul realizes and understands, and he even says it in 13:4, I believe, in 2 Corinthians, Christ died in weakness on the cross. And he's understanding that this strength based in weakness is the heart of the gospel. Jesus was crucified in weakness. Therefore, he yields and he says, okay, God, I'll gladly accept it. And then I think the last part is something that Paul says, Paul says this thorn in the flesh was to do what? Keep me humble. Humility, humbly, Paul lives out Christ's plan. Christ understood my life is all for Christ's glory. This will avail me to Christ's power. Christ will be shown off through me. And this will keep me being fully dependent on Christ and protect me from my pride. People, if we understand what Paul's saying, he's saying that sufficient grace will always show off Christ's power made perfect in my weakness. So why is it important that we then become like Paul? Why is it important that we realize our weaknesses, admit our weaknesses, and turn them over to Christ? So that in us, we're going to realize the power of God's grace in us, but also we're going to be glorifying Jesus in everything. And that's what I believe Christ is calling us to as his followers. How do you and I avail ourselves to Christ's sufficient grace? Since we are followers of Christ, and maybe some of you may not be here today. Maybe you're just checking it out, and we're glad you're here. But if you want to experience Christ's grace, as many of us have, we know this same sufficient grace that Paul received is available to us. We know that God wants to show off his grace working in us throughout all eternity. Ephesians 2:7. We also know that God wants to show us his grace because he tells us in Hebrews 4:16, God tells us to come to him in our time of need so that he can give us grace to meet those needs. So we know that God wants us to be living in his sufficient grace. But do we believe God's grace is sufficient for us? Do we believe that God's grace shows his sufficient grace transforms our weaknesses to show his power? Do we believe that in our weaknesses and as we yield to God, that sufficient grace also shows off Christ and everything? I believe it does. I believe he can. And I've seen it in my own life. But what hinders us from experiencing Christ's sufficient grace? What hinders us from admitting and acknowledging our weaknesses publicly? I think the first thing is we have the same problem Paul did. We have a pride issue. And pride for us may look like I do it. And you hear our little kids following you around. Shortly after they get to where they can talk and they can start to say, I do it, right? And how do we just grow up in that sufficiency, and it's about us. I can do it. I must look strong. I must pull myself up. If only I did better. And many times we beat ourselves up that way, right? And that's pride. But on the other side of that, we may look at that false humility where, oh, poor me, I'm no good. I could do better, and I'm no good. That's a false humility. And either one of those are going to keep us from really experiencing that sufficient grace that God wants to give us. And there may be another thing that hinders us from our receiving and really stepping out in God's sufficient grace and leaning back, and that's a trust issue. Paul, when God said to him no, he had to do what? He had to say, okay, I know you called me, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to go on. So that's a trust issue. And do we really believe that God cares about my weaknesses? Do we believe that God could take me at my weakest point and he could, through his sufficient grace, be glorified in making that turn to something that he can use to show himself off? I believe he can. The scriptures say he can. And so we need to come to a place where we deal with these things that hinder us. And then we need to do the same thing Paul had to do. We need to have a decision of our will. I'm yours. I trust you. We can't just say that. That has to be life. I'm yours. I trust you. That means I yield this weakness, this problem, this whatever I'm going through to the power and working of God's sufficient grace. We need to realize we're handing our weaknesses and struggles over to the Lord. And the reason we're doing that is because He said He'll take care of them. His grace is what? Sufficient. And if we really believe that I'm yours, Lord, and I trust you, then we're going to say, Lord, I want you to show off your strength and do it in your way. But here's the catch of that yielding. We need to have a change of attitude and gladly do it. Okay, Lord. You've probably heard of the little boy who his dad told him to sit down for prayer at supper, and he finally sat down and he said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. How often do we as Christians do the same? Lord, I yield to you, but I'm not happy about it. And do we allow God to change our attitude? Do we allow God to change our attitude? His grace is sufficient to change that, because if we want to glorify God, we need to allow Him to change that attitude so that we can be grateful and we can join with Paul, be glad to boast about our weakness. And then finally, we need to humbly live out God, Christ's plan for our lives. Just that humble living that out. I will walk by faith, not sight, as you help me understand your plan. Our weaknesses is our platform for the perfecting and demonstrating of the power of Jesus and showing off Jesus Christ and His strength. Our weaknesses. And because of that, then we as people need to come and say, okay, Lord, this is who I am. You know what this should change in the body of Christ? It should make us so we can be a little more vulnerable, right? Because every one of you, well, I'll talk about myself. I have weaknesses. Anybody else out here who does not? I don't see any hands. But the thing is, we all have weaknesses. Why do we have to, when we're around each other, puff ourselves up? Why don't we come in humility, share with one another? See, sufficient grace will help us do that. And you don't have to look good in my eyes. We only have one person we're performing, living for, right? Who's that? Jesus Christ. And how do we live that out day by day? As I close, a couple thoughts to ponder. Number one, have you responded to God's grace for your personal salvation? Is there anyone here or anyone who's listening to this who has not come to a place where you are now in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ? That's why Christ came and died, so that we might have salvation. And people, you cannot experience God's sufficient grace without knowing Him personally. Secondly, are you daily experiencing God's sufficient grace? Is there an area in your life that you're really struggling with and you say, you know, almost like Paul, the thorn in the flesh, I pray, get me over it. And the trouble, one of the troubles is I'm just not giving it to you and letting go, giving it to God and letting go. And saying, God, I want you to take this and transform it through the power of your sufficient grace. And if you have an area where you're not enjoying God's sufficient grace daily, what do you need to do to avail yourself to God's sufficient grace? What needs to change in your life? What about you do you need to change? Maybe it's yielding your whole area, your whole life. Some of us as Christians, we walk as followers of Christ, but we hold on to a lot. I still want to do, God, I'll do this your way, but I want to do this my way. Maybe it's an area where you're struggling in pride. Maybe it's an area you're struggling in trust. And what's it going to take for you to say, okay, Lord, help me through that? Or who do you need to help you walk through that so that you can have that victory? Because Paul says that Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient." And then he goes on to say, because in your, I'm going to read it exactly so I don't miss it. Then he says, "My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Are you living in God's sufficient grace? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, Lord, for what you've done in Paul. And Lord, many of times we look up to Paul as being one who has it all together. But Father, we start to see his weaknesses. We start to see what he struggled with. We start to see how he walked also, Lord. And I pray for each one of us, brothers and sisters in Christ here, Lord, that we may experience God's sufficient grace, that we may understand that and live in that. Father, if there's something we're holding on to that we need to let go of, show us that, Lord. Help us to see anything that's hindering us so, Father, that we might be people who show off the power of Jesus Christ in every area of our life daily. Lord, lead us. Father, we pray that our lives would be lives which glorify you and show you off in everything we do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.